Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good to have you in live here on a Football Friday. It's Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise with you for the next 2 hours. Stick to sports coming up at 8:45 this morning. We will talk to our buddy Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, handicap some college and pro games in just a matter of moments. But we were mentioning during the break, because you love, I mean, I love college football. I think everybody on this show loves college football. But you take it to a different level, and you were like, is anybody else interested in Kentucky, South Carolina this weekend?
Yeah, I got a problem. Listen, my name's Braden.
Is there a patch for this?
There's meeting groups. We have group sessions on.
You chew the gum as well?
No. There's no Florida Gator gum, you know, that you chew it and you get the Florida Gator taste out of your mouth. Like, that's not, there's nothing like that. But we do have a support group. We meet and we say, hey, my name's Braden and I'm a college football junkie. I love Mississippi State at Auburn. I can't wait to watch Arizona State at Cal. Friday night, by the way, there's two good games tonight. The James Franklin, Mike Loxley Bowl, Penn State at Maryland. And you know this in your neck of the woods. They hate each other.
They
hate each other.
But I still can't get used to seeing Maryland as a Big Ten team.
Yeah, it's weird.
it's still odd.
Hi, my name's Braden, and I want to watch Iowa State and Baylor.
No.
I'm sorry. Those are two good teams, two good offenses. I want to watch it.
Pantsless.
Well,
with the cocktail.
Only the Pac-12. Only the Pac-12 do I take my pants off
for. All right. Let's welcome in our buddy Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, who will have his college football game of the year this weekend. And on this show, he is coming off of a 4-1 weekend last Friday as he hit 80% of his selections that he gave right here on Morning Drive. Lee, happy Friday. How you doing, sir?
Can't complain. When you're winning, everyone's patting you on the back. No complaints. That's what we like to hear. Just want to keep rolling.
Exactly right. Let's keep that going. And this weekend, we open it up in the SEC. Little Auburn, Mississippi State action. The Tigers about an 11-point home favorite. What do you make of it?
Oh, right now, Auburn is so set up for a letdown. Everything has gone their way, and I was riding them last week, one of my big games. You know, they're playing on the road against Texas A&M, which is a soft team, and they just punched him in the face. They took it to him. I mean, the score was not indicative of how they dominated. Why are they winning? Great offensive and defensive lines here. Now all of a sudden they go from an underdog to a double-digit home favorite. And one of the things I look at when I handicap games, never lay double digits with a team that's not a big scorer. And when you got a quarterback like Bo Nix, he's a winner, but he's completing just 54% of his passes. So they have Florida up next week. I can tell you this much. I'll bet anything they're not going to try a trick play the first series of the game like they did last week with the reverse that went for the touchdown. They'll save that stuff for Florida. Mississippi State's got, I think, the better running back in Kylan Hill. This kid's run for over 550 yards this year, number 3 in the nation in rushing. And a true freshman quarterback, Garrett Schrader, he operates that run-pass option with precision. I think Auburn's going to escape 27-20, but I'm taking Hale State here plus the double digits.
The Vandy, Illinois is a 6-point dog in this one. What do you make of this game?
It seems you don't sound excited talking about this game.
It just seems like to me Vandy should be more of a favorite because Illinois is not a good team. No way,
yeah,
no
Northern
how.
Northern Illinois
no
is
form.
Not.
Yes.
You're right. Northern Illinois is not a good team. And here, their head coach, Mason, for Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. takes care of business when he's hosting the non-SEC FBS teams. He's 6-0 the last six times. Vanderbilt quarterback, he faced Northern Illinois last year, so that mm-hmm. helps out for game planning. At least Vandy didn't quit in the Georgia and LSU losses. Now, you know, you're looking at these teams, and these are two of the six or seven or eight teams that are battling to get into the semifinals. And this is the first of three winnable games here for Vanderbilt. Northern Illinois, they're going to show more multiple looks this year under their new offensive coordinator, Eric Enderness. He's from South Dakota State. They throw more to the tight ends, but they can't get any chunk plays here. And Northern Illinois can't run also. Less than 100 rushing yards in all three games. Mm. And they just don't get takeaways on defense. Three takeaways in three games here. Vandy, 34-23.
All right, there you have it.
Okay.
Let's go to the NFL here and move to Dallas and New Orleans. This is a bizarre game with the way New Orleans performed last week against Seattle with the backup quarterback. Dallas is putting up ridiculous numbers, but I think it may be, I'm not going to call it a mirage. I think they're a good team, but they've played really bad competition. What do you make of Dallas, New Orleans?
I think you have a great observation there. I think they're a top three team in the NFC. I think there's the Rams, the Saints, and then there's Dallas. But they played the Giants with Eli, bottom five team in my opinion. Washington, I think they're probably the second worst team in the NFL. And the Dolphins, probably the worst team in the NFL in the last 50 years. So their star players are going to have to step forward because New Orleans is battle-tested. They've already played Houston, the Rams, and Seattle. The guy that will be the difference maker this week, I think, is Teddy Bridgewater. Last week they wanted him to manage the game. Watched him for many years when he played high school football in the 305. Kid's a winner. May not throw the long ball like Drew Brees, but he'll do what he has to do to win games. This might be the game where he starts stepping out, 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-5. He runs for the first down. Remember, he hasn't really played in over 3 years. And he's getting used to playing now with the starters. Last year, New Orleans lost 13-10 in Jerry's World, but the score could have been 30-3. They only had 179 yards of total offense here. And the Saints, last seven times as a home dog, they walked away winners outright. Six of those seven times. Wrong team is favored, guys. New Orleans wins this game 23-20.
The old Miami Northwestern reference there. I like that, Lee.
Right.
Like
solid that. Work. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, joining us as he does each and every Friday here on Morning Drive. Two more pro games. The Houston Texans, a four-point favorite against Carolina, who comes in with quarterback Kyle Allen.
Yeah. I was shocked. I mean, takes a lot to shock me, but this kid played out of this world last week. I mean, did everything right, throws four touchdowns. But now, all of a sudden, some teams have some film on the kid. So a little bit better way to attack this kid. And Carolina offensive line, not great. And so Houston defensive line, five sacks last week, and J.J. Watt starting to ramp it up. When he gets hot, look out. He had two sacks last week, and Watson's got weapons all over the field. They're starting to get it going with the offense here. Second road game in a row for Carolina. I think Houston gets it done, 28-20.
Now, Titans are a four-point dog at Atlanta. Atlanta, they don't run the ball particularly well. They haven't been able to stop the two teams that are known for running the ball, and that's the Minnesota Vikings and Indianapolis. How do you see this game playing out? Is the wrong team favored in this one?
I like Tennessee in the first game of the year. Have not liked the setups the last couple weeks. And if this game was in Tennessee, it'd probably go with Tennessee. But Atlanta at home, different animal here. Ryan, his stats are incredible. The windows to throw the football are a lot tighter than most quarterbacks. And he's got to do it in clutch time. He's not going to come from behind and lead his team when they're trailing by, 3, 4, 7 points in the last 2 minutes. But I think they'll probably be playing with the lead here. I think they're going to blitz a little bit more this week, and I don't think they have to worry because Tennessee, with Marcus Mariota not pushing the ball down the field, it's all about getting big chunk plays and not getting it from their passing game. So I think Ryan's going to be the difference here and his receivers. I think they win this game here 27-20.
Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. How can they get the game of the week, Lee, and what's the phone number?
Game of the week this week is going to be a pretty darn good one. We're going to go with a game that no one's looking at, Iowa, which under the radar in the Big Ten against Middle Tennessee State, your backyard. They want to get this game. Just call 800-400-9741. We'll give them Iowa and Middle Tennessee State. In fact, I'll even throw in an NFL game. New England, laying 7. They go into Buffalo and play Bills Mafia. You want to get that game, too. Both games for free. 800-400-9741. And as you know, we rate our games from 10 to 50 units so far this year on our two biggest plays. 3 weeks ago, we had Oregon. They won 77-6 over Nevada. 2 weeks ago, Central Florida, as a 45-unit play, demolishes an overrated Stanford team. I found a college game that no one's looking at. It'll be a 3-touchdown win over the point spread. You want to get this game. It's my college game of the year. Just go to ParamountSports.com.
Lee, good stuff as always. We appreciate the time. We'll chat again next Friday.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You got it, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. We will come back. A very interesting story that I believe was highlighted a little bit last Saturday on College Game Day that has grown legs. We'll explain next here on Morning Drive. Well, the time is now. Time to make your picks for the silly underdogs, three college football underdogs that you think will win this Saturday. The weekly winner gets a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville sporting event or concert. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and play today. Silly Underdog Picks is brought to you by the Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And speaking of college football, College Game Day, last Saturday. Interesting story.
Yeah, so you guys saw the sign, I think it was a couple weeks ago at Iowa State, I think, when they were in Ames. And, you know, a kid named Carson King held up the sign, you know, Busch Light Supply needs replenishing, Venmo me, and put his sign on a Sharpie on a sign on Game Day. Basically as a joke to try to get some beer money. He's a college kid.
Mm-hmm.
So many people started putting money into his Venmo or whatever. So many people started donating that it turned into he decided, all right, I'm getting too much beer money. I need to donate this money to charity, which is a really good move by him. That's a really nice, really cool thing to do. He has raised now almost $2 million. Venmo offered to double the money or match the donations. Busch, the beer company that he was asking for, offered to match their donations. So this guy is raising $2 million, and he's going to donate it all to the Children's Cancer Hospital that, you know, when you watch Iowa Hawkeyes games, they all turn during I think it's the end of the third quarter, I think, where they all turn and they hold up their phones and they kind of wave to the kids that are going through chemo and everything up there in the hospital. Like one of the coolest traditions in all of sports, right? And just obviously gut-wrenching situations for all those kids. So this young college student gets famous randomly because he put Sharpie on a sign and stood on College Game Day, and all of a sudden he's doing great things with the money to help kids with cancer. Okay, well, it turns out he said some stupid things on social media when he was 16 years old, and a reporter for the Des Moines Registry asked him about it and sort of started asking questions about it. He was then forced to do a press conference apologizing for his tweets when he was 16 years old, which, again, are not good. They're not good tweets. It's not good information. None of us really say smart things when we're 16 years old. In fact, I think adolescent teenage boys might be the dumbest things on the planet. But it was bad. He apologized. And now the reporter who asked the questions and scrubbed his social media account is getting his own social media account scrubbed from the past 10 years, and they're finding controversial stuff in his past. I'm not saying people shouldn't apologize for saying mean things, but at what point are we just, it's too much. We need to stop going back through other people's Twitter, especially if it's just some kid raising money for cancer treatment. Like, what are we doing?
I mean,
what planet
I'm not excusing the comments that he put on social media.
I
just wonder, like, what causes somebody, when there's a good story, to say, like, where does the thought process come from? Hey, I'm going to go back and check his Twitter for the last 6 years and see if he said anything that was slightly offensive to extremely offensive. Like, where does that thought come from?
It's an industry. It's a whole industry. This is what, like, if you're, and again, I understand it for famous people, right? If you've got a, you know, if you're a pitch person for a company, like any of the three of us, frankly, and we're not famous, but like if, you know, I'm assuming Xfinity has gone back and looked at my past, right? That would be good business. Because I'm promoting their product. I think that makes sense. That's mm-hmm. a reasonable approach for public figures. Why are we doing it to some kid who's all of a sudden donating money to help kids with cancer? I'm not excusing the comments either, but there's an entire industry of going back and digging up people's things that they said 8 years ago when they were 15 or 16 years old, and I'm just going, I don't know. It's just I'm not happy about it.
There's two problems with this whole thing. One is people are stupid, and this is why I'm going to say people are stupid, just dumb, flat out dumb. Why would you want to donate money? Why would you want to give money to a guy that says, I'm running out of beer money? Why would you then want to Venmo a guy money for beer? All of y'all dumb. And I'm going to say it. Y'all are dumb. You could have took that money and you could. Luckily, he decided to be the smart one in the room and says, you know what? All these dummies sending me this money for beer. I'm going to then donate it. Because he had a choice. He could have kept that money for himself and been living a life because he didn't ask for it for donations for a charity or anything else. It was beer money. He could have taken that money and did whatever he wanted to
It didn't get to the $2 million range until after all the companies came in and said, hey, we'll match donations. So then people started donating. It probably was still in the tens of thousands
exactly.
of dollars.
Exactly. Again, people, y'all are just dumb. I'm not donating no money to nobody that says I'm running out of beer money.
See, I actually feel like I'm the stupid one here because here I am shelling out my own money for Tito's Vodka. For now on, I'm just going to go to Preds games and hold a sign up. Venmo me Tito's.
Exactly. Just hold up a sign if somebody will donate you something to your Venmo and you can do whatever you want to. And here's the second thing.
Now, real quickly on that point, though, is like if it's like 150 people all putting in like $5. That's more likely. It's not like everybody's donating hundreds of dollars to this kid. It was just lots of people giving him like five bucks.
I am not donating money to somebody that wants alcohol. I just, regardless, he could build the biggest sign in the world. I'm still not giving him money.
I'm with you. I'm not either.
And then the second thing is, I want to know what the tweets were. And he apologized, move on. I mean, again, yes, he was 16. Yeah. But. You know, I'm not going to excuse if it's a racial slur or if it's being, you know, whatever you said and it had to do with, you know, race or discrimination or racism. I'm not going to excuse that because if you excuse it early, it continues to build. Racism and hate is a learned thing. You are taught those things. And if you don't stop it at the beginning, you will end up your life hating those people that others taught you to hate. So I want to know what the tweet was. And, you know, he apologized for it. And okay, let's just move on.
Clearly, he's not a hateful person. He's donating millions of dollars to kids.
No, you still could be a hateful person still donate money.
Well, and you know where I fall on that.
But if he apologized. Just move on. He apologized for it. Move on. But the biggest problem I'm having is the people that decided to want to send him money for beer. That's the only problem I have with the whole thing.
On a serious note, though, like on social media, like everybody loves to sit on their soapbox on social media and never forgive people. Mm-hmm. Like people just love to tear you down and tear you apart on social media and say, well, you said this when you were 16. I'm never going to forgive you and allow you to move on with your life. That's the thing I hate about social media. It's the sanctity.
You are not your tweets. All right. You are not the contents of your tweets. It's like Fight Club. You are not the contents of your wallet. You are not your khaki pants. You are not your tweets. Like Twitter is not real life. It doesn't mean that what he said was right. I haven't read him either, Derek. So I almost don't care because I'm just like, it's 16 years old. What you put on Twitter when you were an anonymous teenage boy, like you're not a recruit. You're not a high profile person in life. You're just a dumb teenager that said something dumb on Twitter. You are not. Some people are the contents of their tweets, but most people aren't. Even the ones who are spewing hatred at each other, when you get the two people in a room and you actually put them down and say talk to each other, they're far nicer people to each other than what they do on social media. It's not real life on Twitter. You know, so that part of it, just again, if you're the reporter and you're digging up tweets on a 16-year-old kid,
yeah, you better have your stuff.
You better
right.
have your own house in line, because now you've been fired. We are firing this guy from his job now because he had some weird stuff in his his background on social media. Where does it end? I guess what I'm asking. Like, why are we doing this? Like. You are not, I don't know, it's so
people love to be judge, jury, and executioner on social media.
I'm wondering why.
You slip up, you make a mistake, they come out with the pitchfork.
This guy's been fired now because of, like, what are we doing?
Didn't you check his social media prior to, once you hired him and the way things are going now, don't you have someone that kind of said, I got people out here working for me and people that are writing articles about other people. Let me see what this person he or she has put on their Twitter or whatever the case may be. Again, is it a fireable offense? I don't know. What are the tweets? And were there more than just one? Were there multiple tweets of him, you know, tweeting about the same thing and him coming off the same way? What were those tweets? Some are fireable offenses, but then some are, hey, listen, what has been your track record since all of that?
All right, don't forget Preds preseason finale tonight, the final dress rehearsal of the preseason as they take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Of course, you can hear all the play-by-play here on 102.5 The Game. And Smashville, don't forget, you can join The Game Nashville at the second annual Preds Fest on Sunday, September the 29th, 2 to 6 p.m. There will be Preds player appearances, live entertainment, a used equipment sale, and fun for the whole family. So stop by the tent and win some awesome gear that is coming up this Sunday from 2 to 6. We will come back. We've got Stick to Sports in about 20 minutes. But a weird weekend in the SEC. The Vols are off. Vandy's a favorite against nobody. Bama should roll. So where's the action? Where's the drama? We'll tell you next here on Morning Drive. It is Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're not a one-hit wonder like Montel.
Whoa. Come on, man.
One-hit wonder.
Even I'm calling hold up on that.
Nothing came close to this song for him.
That's a different
There might
subject.
Have been a secondary hit, but it was not even close to this.
Wow. You didn't have That's to a, throw an unnecessary shot at Montel Jordan those, for giving us this classic,
Those
Nick.
Are two separate discussions, too. One hit wonder versus was this his best song? Yeah, it was probably his best song.
Did he have another hit after this?
Marquise will find some. I would not call Montel Jordan a one hit wonder.
I've always thought the two biggest battles for one hit wonder, mid-90s hip-hop, would be Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It, versus Return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac is a one-hit wonder. He's truly a one-hit wonder. Most people don't even know the artist who sang that song.
I'm drawing a blank on who it is.
I like how you're trying to think about it like you knew it. I think it's Mark Morris.
Zach Morris.
Montel Jordan, I don't believe I would qualify as a one-hit wonder.
Oh, Montel Jordan, one-hit wonder?
Oh, yeah, he was a one-hit wonder.
Thank you.
That's it?
Yes, he only had that one song.
This is how we do it.
He had other good songs. No, he made other songs, but that one song was his hit.
He had one... Another good song. It was called Get On Tonight. I had to listen to a little bit of it to see if I reminded of it.
But did you
and
own
it? Yeah, that was a good song.
The only song I listened to. This is how we do it.
But did you have another... I had another Montel Jordan album, though.
That's a you problem.
Exactly. No, it's not. Not when I was buying CDs for like $4.99.
That was a you problem, not nobody else's.
I'm just saying, if you could go listen to an artist, a second album by an artist, and think it's moderately okay, I don't think you're a one-hit one. Like, no, he never had a hit that big again, no. But I think I feel like he had more than one album that was okay.
He had more than one album, but he only had one hit.
We will we'll get to the SEC in just a second, but did you see the Super Bowl news yesterday? Shakira, Jennifer Lopez will be your halftime entertainment.
Cool.
They're playing it safe.
Playing it safe.
Yeah, that's playing it. I don't know, man. Is anybody going to watch Shakira and J-Lo?
No.
No, they're not.
Is Jennifer Lopez good at music?
Dancing, yes.
First of all, if you're a dude, you're not watching it for the songs itself. You're watching it for the visual pleasure. So secondly, you're going to tell me, what are you going to do? You're going to watch Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, or are you going to go over by the meat and veggie tray and talk to your buddies?
I'm going to talk to my buddies.
The hell with you. I'm watching them.
I don't understand this move. And what I've heard, you know, the Twitter sphere, the world, you know, because Miami has a large population of Spanish-speaking individuals coming from Cuba and other places, then they just figured, having Shakira and and J-Lo would be just the ideal. But there are more than just Spanish-speaking people in the city of Miami or in the state, period.
Very diverse city.
You're not appealing to a city. You're appealing to the 400 million people around the world that are watching.
And it's like, are they appealing to – they're not. They're just appealing to a city. Because neither person is relevant.
What do you want? You want Justin Timberlake every single year?
Well, here's the
thing. His music is more relevant than that.
That's my issue with Jennifer Lopez. I cannot name a song that I thought was great ever. I know she had some hits, more than Montel Jordan, obviously.
All of her hits back in the day. Collabs, though,
right,
with
like,
someone
else. Is she a great musical talent? Like, I think about Lady Gaga, and I may not love her albums, but she is extraordinarily talented.
Wait
she
a minute.
Is exceptionally
Don't be fooled
talented.
By the rocks that she got.
He's still Marquise from the block.
Exactly.
Listen, she's aesthetically appealing from the eyes. She's easy on
of
the
course.
Eyes. Both of them
of
are
course.
Easy on the eyes.
Wait,
but they're not relevant. I mean, again.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I'm going to go talk to my boy.
The latest trend, though, in Super Bowl halftimes has been going back to people that were successes in the years past out of fear of a lot of these new people that just are all organically produced in a sound studio
she's
that can't
not,
perform live.
Well, she
her
is
music
too.
Is not relevant. 2014 was her last album. Yeah. Name a song on AKA by Jennifer Lopez. I don't think her music is relative, but... Or relevant, but she's still a big name. Like she has a high Q rating, right? Like she's if you're going to go by Q rating.
Well, she's dating Alex Rodriguez,
she's,
right?
She's got
she was
huge,
in a blockbuster movie. She came out last week.
She is a huge
Hustlers.
Is that a blockbuster movie?
I mean, it's getting her Oscar.
Dude, if Jennifer Lopez walked down the street, people in this city would know who it is immediately.
Oh, of course.
Like she is
she's
a huge Q rating person as far as her name recognition around the world. She's incredibly relevant, her name, but not her music. I don't like her nothing about her music says to me Super Bowl halftime show. And I cannot like Shakira had a huge hit like what? In like 2005?
Yeah, I haven't heard in years.
I haven't heard much from her. Again, we're not the target demo necessarily.
Yeah, I will say this. Now, usually Super Bowl, and they made this mistake last year by not having any Atlanta artists. Could you imagine them having Miami artists out there like Two Live Crew during the Super Bowl halftime show with your families watching? Like, that's why they had to go the general route of J-Lo and Shakira. It's just, I mean, what are you going to have? Two Live Crew out there?
Well, they had...
The guys from the fifth
they've
floor,
had Bruno,
13th floor.
They had you. Would they have Coldplay with Beyonce? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had Coldplay with Beyonce.
Okay, I don't love Coldplay. I don't really like Coldplay, but Coldplay is a world famous rock band that is relevant. And Beyonce is the Beyonce. She's and next.
What
tier.
Was last
She's
year? Maroon 5.
Maroon 5 again. Don't like
Maroon
their music,
5,
but very
Big
popular.
Boy and Travis Scott.
And Big Boy's like 35 seconds on stage was like the best part of that entire halftime show, by the way. Bruno Mars was a big part of the one, I think, right, with Coldplay and Beyonce. Mm-hmm. He was great. Like, Justin Timberlake's been great. Lady Gaga's great. Even Pink. Didn't Pink do it? She's pretty good. Again, Pink, not one of my favorite artists of all time, but you have to recognize the talent. And musically, she's still relevant. I'm not sure you recognize the talent or the relevancy of either Jennifer Lopez.
Well,
Shakira is much better musically.
They're going to, and this is what the NFL is hoping, that you have two beautiful women on stage shaking their rear ends. That's basically, let's call it what it is.
Well, and Shakira said it, hips don't lie.
Exactly. In the song, yeah. But that's
Nick is pulling.
But that is what it is. I mean,
I'm all in.
We're not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. That's just what it is.
Of course.
And they expect, you know, men to watch, and then little kids who like dancing, they're going to watch, the little girls are going to watch, and that's basically what it is. But as far as relevancy in their music, neither one of them are.
Now, how relevant is Shakira to sort of like
in
her,
the Spanish world?
In her
yes.
world? Yeah, like she's
yes,
a really big
exactly.
deal
absolutely.
In that world. Sort of like, is it Selena Gomez?
Uh-huh.
No.
Is that who's the one that was dating Justin Bieber? And like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
Selena Gomez.
Isn't she, is she an actress or is she
I thought
music?
You were talking about Selena, like the old Selena, like back in the 90s.
Right. You never know with me.
Selena Gomez, I think she does music.
I think there are a couple of artists who don't resonate in American music. They don't chart, right? They don't hit billboards, that are incredibly important and popular in Latin cultures and in Spanish-speaking communities. And that is important. That is important to acknowledge and an important thing for us to point to. But again, exactly, what are you doing with these two particular acts on the same stage when, oh, by the way, the people who watch football are is the majority male, right?
More than likely, J-Lo and Shakira is going to do, they're going to bring out some relevant artists, kind of like how Maroon 5 did, and they'll probably bring out Cardi B. Because Cardi B did a song with J-Lo, and she has some kind of relevancy. People know who she is. People know her music. So they'll probably just bring her out, and then people will say that that's the best part of the performance.
I think on this big stage, they ain't bringing out nobody else but them two.
Yeah.
They want the stage by themselves. Them two want the stage. They don't want to bring out a third person.
They probably don't even want to share the stage together.
Yeah, you might
They just have so much other stuff that they're known for. Like, Shakira is a really big philanthropist in South America, and she's done a lot of really, really good work. And Jennifer Lopez, I feel like, is better known to me, at least, for her movie work as an actress than she is as a musician. So it just feels like they're successful and popular for lots of reasons. It doesn't feel like mainstream American music is one of them. Maybe I'm wrong.
The NFL needs to go back, because what they're doing is they're trying to cater toward the city they're in. Go back to the way you used to do it. Just, you know, regardless of where you're at, you know, just put an artist on stage that's relevant. An artist on stage that you let them know beforehand, listen, you got a bunch of people watching, you know, not too much profanity. We don't want to see showing a boob or anything. put a performer up there that is relevant, that people can listen to and say, oh, cool, I've heard the song.
Here's the thing, though, man. Like, and this is just a rock and roll problem, not like there's a music problem. Like, who are the big rock bands? Because for a while there, it was Rolling Stones, Aerosmith, Tom Petty, Prince did one. I think Springsteen did one. We're talking about big rock bands from like the 70s, 80s, 90s, right? Just huge rock and roll bands that were doing all these halftime shows. And it's good to switch it up, go country or go pop or whatever, go R&B, go hip hop. It's good to switch it all up and rotate the genres. Yeah. There's just not name the rock band of our generation. There's not one. Foo Fighters? Like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, right now, would you say Imagine Dragons? But that's so poppy that it's not even really rock.
Who is the Stones or the Beatles or Zeppelin or, you know, Metallica, whoever was the big rock band of the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, Tom Petty, Prince, whatever. There is none of those
Who are
staying
watching?
Power, big time superstar rock bands
who
anymore.
Who gets more excited? Coldplay. I want to know who gets more excited for halftime shows. Is it the women population and the kid population? Or is it the male population? That's what I would love to know.
I think it's all encompassing. I mean, you can bet on halftime performances. You get gamblers, you get guys, you get women, you get children, music lovers, entertainment lovers.
Well, I think to your point, Derek, the question of every year when they sit down to figure this out is they're trying to appeal to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
They want it to appeal across all demographics, across all countries, because they want every single person to stay tuned in to the show, right? Now, I, in particular, at the parties I go to, we are probably more gender normative than all the other parties. Like, a lot of the women are watching the halftime show. A lot of the dudes are going to get beer or throwing the football outside. Like,
what I've wondered.
We sort of fall into a very normal gender situation, but that's because that's our situation. Mm-hmm. But I also enjoy the halftime show if it's good. I watch Lady Gaga. I'll watch Pink. I'll watch Beyonce. I'll watch, you know, Bruno Mars. I'll watch Big Boy. I don't care about, like, if it was Imagine Dragons, I don't care. If it's Maroon 5, I don't care. If it's Coldplay, I don't care.
Real quick, do you guys remember in the Titans Super Bowl halftime show, who was the performer?
I was there. I was there.
Whitney?
No, it was Britney Spears.
Britney Spears,
I was there. It was it Steven Tyler?
No, I'm talking about the St. Louis Rams and the Tennessee Titans Super Bowl. It was Phil Collins, Christina Aguilera. And Enrique Iglesias, and Tony Braxton.
Christina Aguilera was the headliner, and that's why I always think it was
Britney
Spears.
Who did the national anthem that year? Was it Whitney?
No.
It was Faith Hill.
Faith Hill did it? Okay.
It's so weird. I don't remember that part at all. You were playing. I was there as an 18-year-old kid sitting in the first row.
Whitney did the Bills Giants 91-ish.
Yeah.
It was during Desert Storm, and that was the one that brought the house down.
I thought
down.
She did another one after that.
I always think Britney Spears, for some reason, did that halftime show. And Christina Aguilera, I get the two of them confused. Obviously, they both came up right at the same time, and
for Mickey Mouse
superhero
part of the Mickey Mouse thing.
I did see NSYNC though in line at the Dippin' Dots stand at at the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, good job.
I was 18, and I was like, I wanted to go hang out with them because I assumed there would be people around them that I'd want to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out.
Did you tell Justin to go solo?
I said, dude, you're too talented for these knuckleheads.
Is that when he had the frosted tips?
It was frosted curls, I think, right? Listen, JT can do whatever he wants.
Damn right.
JT can do whatever he wants.
All right, we're going to come back, and we are going to do what we do best, stick to sports here on Morning Drive. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Should have known Wendy was coming back.
Who loves me.
Can't get a little Shakira here on Friday. No, it's got to be Whitney. It's the Whitney overload.
You don't play no damn Shakira on this.
You don't want to hear that
Hipstone Lion song? You can play Shakira if you want to.
No, not on a Friday.
Hey, Hollywood, let me get a little Shakira in the 9 o'clock hour.
I just want the South Park song about.
Yeah, oh, look at this. He knew I was going to bring it up. This was not scripted, folks. No fighting.
No fighting.
Exactly right, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to bust out some moves this year at the halftime show like you've never seen before. I might go live on Periscope. Uh-huh.
I don't know what she's saying in this, but it's pretty
cool.
About,
here's the deal. If you are going to live Periscope yourself dancing to the Jennifer Lopez Shakira halftime show, I will watch that over the halftime show itself.
Yes, please do it.
If all you boys and girls are good for the next couple of months, Uncle Nick will go live on Periscope. Super Bowl Sunday, baby. But in the meantime, let's stick to sports.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw in the trash.
Basically.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
All right, 85, Stick to Sports is brought to you by
the good folks at Decorated In Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated In. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces, request a complimentary appointment, which is free in this world, at DecoratedIn.com.
Number one.
Man, this is a boss move by the homie Samuel L. Jackson will be voicing Alexa. He'll be the first celebrity voice for the Alexa device. So if you want to listen to 102.5 The Game on Alexa, Samuel L. Jackson can tell you to listen to 102.5 The Game on your Alexa. And so this is pretty interesting. Now, you can pay $1.99 for the reads from Samuel L. Jackson. He'll read you news. He'll tell you jokes. He'll give you the weather. You ask Alexa, Sam, wake me up at 7 a.m. He will wake you up at 7 a.m., give you birthday shout-outs, whatever. And he would also do explicit, because there'll be like a mature.
Explicit.
Yeah,
it'll be
a mature-rated Samuel L. Jackson voice. So if you want him to cuss you out from Snakes on a Plane,
Alexa,
he can do it.
Hey, Alexa, like, what's on the grocery list? Go get some peas, mother.
I would love to hear Samuel Jackson on my Alexa.
Here's what
God,
I don't.
That'd be so
here's
fun.
What I don't want him though is I don't want him reading the news to me. The news is already depressing enough. I don't want Samuel Jackson yelling at me about the war in Yemen. There's people dying in Yemen, mother.
It's 70 degrees.
There's a handful of other names.
Put on your jacket.
And other voices that I would rather have than Samuel L. Jackson's. Like, give me James Earl Jones.
Yeah,
that's good.
Morgan Freeman.
Are you just calling old black guys?
Basically,
black guys,
yes.
Black guys with distinct voices. I like,
say what again?
Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker. Let me see.
Forrest Whitaker's really underrated.
Denzel.
That'd be so funny.
My man.
Shoot program.
That'd be so funny.
Order me some new flip-flops.
I would love
Denzel.
To hear De Niro.
Not a good voice.
What about Pesci?
No, not a good
Joe
voice.
Pesci.
That would be annoying.
It's annoying.
Joe Pesci would be so like, annoying.
I went Morgan Freeman because, like, to me, Morgan Freeman's got one of the greatest voices of all time. Everything he says just
it's,
like.
It's 7 o'clock in
the
morning.
You know, he does the.
You need to wake
he
up,
did
Nick.
The. What's the planet? We did the planet one, the first or the second one, when they, you know, they did a whole documentary on the planet. Yeah. He was the voice of that.
It's so funny. Is it there's a South Park. Everything goes back to South Park for me. I know it's Married with Children for Nick. There's a South Park episode where every time something needs explaining, Morgan Freeman shows up. He explains it and then gets a freckle. So every time he explains something, he gains a freckle. I can handle Morgan Freeman. I could not listen to Joe Pesci tell me, like, the weather.
Man.
It's like 82 degrees outside.
I would love that. Him or De Niro.
Put on some shorts.
It is 70 degrees outside.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, give me Morgan. I'm good with Morgan.
Tremendous in the movie Seven with Brad Pitt.
That's what's in the box?
Guys, John Doe has the upper hand here.
Kevin Spacey, creepy, creepy, creepy in that movie.
Yeah.
That is one of the best movies
ever
made that no one really talks about.
It's always on, like, what's the movie, the channel starts with an I?
There's AMC.
IFC, maybe?
I have no idea.
IFC channel? Ring a bell, anybody?
Is that
like independent a wing film of the, something?
Is that like a championship belt or something?
Yeah, no, that's what boxing
is. Is that wrestling?
That was the IBF.
The IBF is still a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But people, be careful before you buy the Sam Jackson Alexa device.
Can you stop yelling at me, please?
No, I can't stop yelling, because that's how I talk. You ain't never seen my movies.
Say what again?
How many people would download Alexa if you could get Jared Stillman as the voice?
Oh, heck no.
Would you stop yelling? That's how I do my show.
That's a fair point. If Samuel Jackson can do it, then Stillman can do it. Yeah, I need somebody more soothing to talk to me about the news and weather and grocery shopping lists.
No.
Number two.
D-Mace, you could do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could. But speaking, so another movie.
Get you some frozen waffles,
this kind of got me a little motivated because we're all radio guys here. You guys do TV hits and you guys are big time. But you guys can also do movies as well because Mike Francesa is in a movie with Adam Sandler. Oh, no. Have you heard of this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Uncut Gems, starring Adam Sandler. Kevin Garnett's in the movie as well. But one person that's probably not going to get the whole, you know, Samuel Jackson Alexa device, is a guy from Brooklyn who called in Mike Francesa's show and talked about Mike Francesa dropping the F-bomb on his in this new movie that he's in, and here's what the guy had to say.
Jason in Brooklyn, what's up, Jason?
Hi, Mike. You know, I've been listening to you for a while, and you've always said that your radio show has been very unique in that you could always turn on the car, you always could turn on the, your show on in the car with the kids in the car.
Absolutely.
You don't have to worry about any foul language.
Absolutely.
Right. So how come in the movie, like, your part, well, you know, you had to curse. Why couldn't you just, you know, do your part without cursing?
Because
your brand.
They asked me. But that's not my brand. The movie is an R-rated movie that I don't think you're going to be taking your kids to, and has nothing to do with my TV, my radio show, which the movie was a script. I could agree to do it or not do it. It was a script. I stuck to the script, okay? So
why did you agree to curse on you know, while everyone sees
again,
how you're light? That's something that people don't want to see.
What do you mean they don't want to see it? Don't see it. Don't go see it. I have no problem with that. It's an R-rated movie. You don't have to go see it. It's an R-rated movie. If you don't want to see it, it's an R-rated movie. You don't have to go see it. It has nothing to do with my radio show. If you don't see the difference, I can't help you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
so should
I don't
we go see,
see
the movie?
Yeah, we should, actually. It's a good movie. It looks like a good movie. But I just, that's once again, we're so sensitive in this world.
Oh my God.
That Mike Francesa is your moral leader of this is what radio should be. This guy doesn't cuss. He's a very clean cut guy. And it's,
well,
he
I mean,
drops
but let's be real.
In a movie.
That just goes to show you how dopey that caller was because if you're doing terrestrial radio, you can't say those things on the radio.
Exactly.
Dope.
So it's just like
that's one of the dumbest takes I've ever heard on radio.
He's like, my kid's
normally,
gonna watch that movie. No, he's not. It's rated R.
Exactly. Normally, it would be Mike Francesa we would be making fun of in this case, and in this case, we have to totally defend him. That's absurd. What planet are we living on? Yeah. Again, we talk about this with comedians all the time. If you don't like their jokes,
don't go
to the show. Don't watch the movie. Change the channel. Like, it's not. You have the power as a consumer. I'm sorry. I like HBO because of the cussing. I want the violence and the nudity and the cussing because that's real life.
Yeah, but also
I want that.
You know,
every
sports radio show is different, and at the end of the day, sports radio caters to men between 25 and 54 years old. So yeah, there might be now you can't curse on terrestrial radio, but you know, last time I checked, that kind of appeals to men 25 to 54.
Yeah, and Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah,
who are they going after? Like 80-year-old women? No, probably not.
Exactly.
10-year-old kids? Probably not.
So if we were offered a movie role, what do you think it'd be? What would be your movie role?
Let's see if we can find a movie with two black guys in it that Nick can cast in.
What are you trying to say? Me and Nick?
Nick can cast me in as the black guy.
We can recreate Bad Boys. Like me and D-Mace can play Will Smith. And I
was thinking White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah.
We can do that tonight.
Braden will be Woody Harrelson. D-Mace is Wesley Snipes.
Okay. All right.
Already established I'm Gloria.
I'm the dude from...
Well, Billy.
I'm the dude from a different world that, you know, holds the money and tells Wesley Snipes that we're going to Sizzler afterwards.
Exactly right. Now you're picking up on the theme of the show, Mike.
There we go.
We're going to Sizzler.
We're White Man Can't Jump. That's what it is.
There we go.
All right. So that means... I guess that just means we're casting Nick as like the Spanish-speaking woman in every movie from now on.
Yeah, exactly right.
So,
right.
He'll be at the halftime show.
You do got the Woody Harrelson backwards hat thing going.
I will take Woody Harrelson all day.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
D-Mace, you know, he's like Wesley. He'd rather look pretty and lose than ugly and win.
Yeah. Nah.
Although I think Derek,
I take both.
Derek, you might be a better actor.
But I'm paying my taxes though.
D Mace.
And you might be a better actor than Wesley.
What would you rather have?
Would you rather have
10 receptions, 137 yards and a touchdown and a loss?
Uh-huh.
Or be targeted 3 times, have 1 catch for 5 yards and a win?
Ooh. 1 catch, 5 yards and a win. It all depends on what our record is.
Mm-hmm. It's the Super Bowl.
Oh, it's the Super Bowl. I'm taking a 1-yard catch and winning the Super Bowl. Hell yeah. I'm taking that.
What about playoff games?
Yeah, because it segues into the Super Bowl. Exactly. Yeah. It all segues into the Super Bowl. That's all.
All right. Here's what we got coming up. Final hour of the show. We'll get back to the Falcons and the Titans. We've got our picks. We've got the big finish. But 2 thoughts on the Predators. We'll do that when we come back. Preseason finale tonight here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.